Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on this episode. I'm so excited to have you guys with us and my amazing guest, Yvonne McCoy. So, Yvonne, please do us all a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into this.
First of all, I am so excited to be with you. Just the couple minutes I chatted with you before, your energy is so high and so contagious. So, I am Yvonne McCoy, a women's business strategist, and I help entrepreneurs grow their business to their second six figures by streamlining what they already have in terms of their systems and the programs that they've you know, bought before. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to harness your gifts and values and turn any doubt that you have, any doubt and uncertainty, into dollars. And, you know, one of the things that I think is really important that people get stuck on, you know, that they struggle with, is the idea that one size fits all. It does not. When you get information, you have to really say, okay, how does this apply to me? And so that's kind of what I help you maneuver so that you have more productivity and profit and have a system, have systems that you like, you know, so that you can actually use them on a regular basis.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely have to have systems that work specifically for you. I love that you talk about that. And, you know, some people are really great at following things and, you know, fitting into the box that that person is teaching, which is great. And then there are others where it just never fits. I know I'm one of those people. So,
well, I think, you know, there are certain, I call them universal truths. There's certain universal truths, like on Earth, there's gravity, right?
True.
So, but how it impacts you is totally different for each person. Or, you know, the simpler ways to say water is wet. So if you are a coach, and I think, you know, one of the things I think that every coach says is, well, you know, somebody else is teaching the same thing, or why am I different? But, you know, water's wet. So some of us teach water like as a health kind of thing. How do you use water in your health? Some of us teach it about how do I water my garden? Some of us teaches how do I waterproof my house? You know, so there, you know, the universal truth part is still there, but the process is different. And a lot of that has to do with you as a person. How do you learn? You know, I wasn't until my adulthood that I learned that I was a visual kinetic learner. I have to see it. You have to show me, and I have to do hands-on, then I can read it and get it. But I think, you know, so, you know, picking the right program, if it's a program where you have to read everything, you know, it's one of those self-directed programs, I'm going to fail at it miserably every single time. Yeah. So I think the second part of your question was, how did I get here? Which is a very long story because I'm a very old person. So, you know, I've tried a lot of different things. I've been in corporate. I've managed a division. I went into workforce development. So I did a lot of training. I then went from there to executive coaching. And like everybody else, you know, I have a COVID story, I think, you know, in March of 2020, not COVID, but something else put me in the hospital for 5 days. And when I got out, all my business was gone because I was coaching executives in nonprofits.
Oh.
And so all their money had disappeared. And, you know, they were trying to figure out how to pay their staff. Yeah. And I totally understood that they didn't have money for me. But it put me in a place where I had to say, okay, girl, you got to reinvent yourself. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And so this process really started with, how do I take what I have and, you know, redirect it, repackage it, figure out what's working. It's funny because right after I got out of the hospital, I was working, I had been, before that, I had been working on a course called How to Gain an Hour a Day. And then we went into lockdown. And everybody had more hours than they knew what to do with, you know?
Yep.
So kind of learning how to pivot, be adaptable, that kind of thing became like a passion for me.
I love that. And you know what? You're not the first person to talk about that either. A lot of people that I interview and even people that I coach, they usually have hit this point where they kind of started somewhere and either there was some type of environmental change or something within their personal life or whatever the case may be, right? And it did allow them to pivot. And I think those that have the ability to learn to pivot and find something new that they learn, that they like, right? Or do something more that they desire, one, it gets them closer to whatever it is that they enjoy, which means it's not always work, right? And two, you are able to kind of go with the flow when things change and crap happens, because that's life, right? That whether it's inside, outside, workforce, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be external forces at work that we can't help but kind of be entwined with. And being able to pivot and see that, okay, well, it just means I have to change a couple things versus shutting down, really does make the difference between someone that has the opportunity of succeeding and those that end up holding themselves back due to those self-limiting beliefs.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my course, you know, if you go to the productivitycoach.today, the course that's in there is Productivity and Profit with One Small Change. You know, what I talk about is dead reckoning. And dead reckoning is, what do you want to be remembered for in your 100th birthday? And it's a terrible term. I mean, it sounds horrible, but it's a sailing term. And what it means from the sailors before they were electronic, you know, tools and stuff, is that you pick a place on the horizon that you're always going for, because with currents and winds, you can't sail directly. And if you're an entrepreneur, the path is never going to be direct, because there's so many things that you can't control. I mean, you know, we've all gone out and said, I'm going to do step one, step two, step three. And before you even get to three, something else happens. Okay.
Yeah.
And whether it's something good, I mean, that something could be suddenly you get this huge client that takes up much more of your time, but, you know, pays all your bills. So you're really happy, but it means you have to slow down the pace or do something different with those other things that you had.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, probably one of the best things people can do if they're in an entrepreneurial kind of setting is come up with an analogy that they relate to about how, what entrepreneurship is for them. I mean, I wrote a post that entrepreneurship was like a stream that flowed to the sea, and that you had to go around all the rocks and the obstructions, but along the way, you also gathered other streams and other collaborations that made you stronger. So by the time you got to the sea, you know, you were like really together. And so I really like that, because we're always trying to get around the rocks and the challenges and the obstructions. The beauty of community is that people can kind of help you be proactive to what those challenges are. So if you know what those challenges are, then you have a better, you know, you can say, well, I have a couple ways that I could handle this, you know, depending on what happens. And I think just knowing that it's not a straight line, you know, we are not blessed with getting from A to Z without any sidetracks. I mean, you just aren't. And I just saw somebody that I read an article that said, embrace the spiral. I like that. Because entrepreneur is not a straight line. It's kind of a journey of discovery and implementing and experimenting and then discovering and then, you know, finding something else out. So, you know, I think that's so important. And, you know, we talked about earlier that when you're going through change, change is not really a new beginning. Change is really about making room for new things, right? And in between change, you know, the things that you're ending and making room and getting to the thing that you want to do, the model says it's called the neutral zone, but it is anything but neutral. It is, you know, I think of it as in terms of, you know, if you were shifting in a car, if you're going from reverse, you have to go to neutral where you're kind of still before you, you know.
Yeah.
But I call it the push-pull, because you're trying to push through to something new, but you're being pulled back to your old way. And
yeah,
it makes you so uncomfortable. It makes you feel like you're losing your mind. Like, why is this so hard? I mean, and I always say to myself, you must be making a great change because you know, I've never felt this miserable before. And I had that feeling just recently, when I was talking to you about the course. It was like, yeah. I got nothing. It's, you know, it's like, I thought I was there and suddenly I had nothing, you know, and yeah. It really is about making room for something new, you know, and suddenly when it hits, it's like, no, I do have something. I'm excited, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then something else that you said previously, before we had, before we hit record, was, you know, in order to be able to hear that change, sometimes you have to learn to be quiet. And I know that that is a really hard thing for a lot of people. But even I have noticed that if I can really kind of settle down, like for me, water is a thing. I don't know what it is, but streams, the shower, my husband laughs. I call it shower ideas because if I'm in the shower by myself for like mine a good 15.
Mine is bathtub. I said, if somebody could build me an office with a bathtub, I'd be a billionaire.
Yes, right. Yeah, if I could have a waterfall behind me just constantly going, yes, I would be in so much flow. But I do, that's where mine happened because that's the time that I don't have my teenagers bothering me. My husband might be doing something and I can just kind of wash away the day, the things that I've done, focus on the things that I'm proud of. And then it's interesting because when I do learn to kind of just be quiet for a second and just stand in the water, close my eyes and just feel it, that's when things kind of start coming through. It's how I got the name of my book. And it's funny, my poor husband, I love him so dearly. Because I get these ideas and it's happened before where I've gotten these ideas and I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I get out and I'm like, oh crap, what was that? I can't remember it. So I told her, I was like, I'm going to buy like the underwater paper that you can write on so I can keep it in the shower. And so I kept my phone until I get that. I've got my phone next to me. And so I got out of the shower and I'm texting away just all the things. And I get dressed and I run into the other room and I'm like, oh my God, I've got it. He was like, what are you talking? I'm like, I got the name of the book. I got the name. I was like, and it's not just one book, it's a whole series. Like, I know what it's going to be. I know what it's going to be about. It's this whole thing. I was like, it's called Fighting the Silent Battle. And he was like, okay, well, that's actually pretty good. I was like, I know. He was like, did you write it down? I was like, yes. I remember this time.
So one of the challenges that entrepreneurs have is, you know, they have so much in their head. And they don't put it down, whether it's ideas or whether it's systems. And the other thing that they have is they have family and friends. And so learning the right role for family and friends, because we talk to our family about our business and they look at us with glazed eyes. My kids are adults. And, you know, my youngest, who's in her 30s, said to me, I still don't know what you do. You know, I mean, so it's like your family doesn't always understand you, but.
Yeah.
There's always that one person, you know, in our case, it's both of us, it's our husbands. Do you know, your husband is, you know, helps you with your ideas. My husband bought me this center cam that hangs in my computer so that I'm screen, you know, I'm framed better.
Yes.
And he said to me, I went to him and I said, you know, I just was in a webinar and this guy talked about this and it looks kind of interesting and it's not too expensive and, you know, And the next thing I know, I've got this camera and he said, this is because I'm tired of trying to raise your computer or your chairs up and down and get you in, you know, now you've got it. And it's like, so, you know, those people who, you know, sometimes we don't appreciate those people who support us.
Yeah. In,
you know, the not the direct business, but the, you know, just keeping us going, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, where the problems comes in is when we try to actually pull them into the business and they don't have the right roles or skills that we really need.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my husband to death too.
I love it. And you know what? That brings a really good point as well. And this is always, I feel like, a really hard one for people. I know that even for me, it's hard occasionally. Like if I am in kind of like a small mastermind or I'm chatting with like-minded people that maybe we're close to the same thing as far as like the level of where we're at and just like having a conversation. And then I hear, well, you probably shouldn't do that. Right. And I've been able to get to the point to where now, instead of being like, oh no, you know what, you're right, and listening to their perspective and taking that as my truth, but stepping back and saying, okay, well, you know what, I understand that from what you're saying, and then sitting with that and being like, okay, but does that really make sense to me, right? Because we're really good about wanting to have other people's opinions and wanting them to have their input, or we're again looking for that external validation of, oh, I have this great idea, do you think it's a great idea as well? And you can't always do that, right? You have to be aware that if it's your vision and it makes you feel good and you know that that's the direction you have to go, then while it's great to share with people, you have to be okay to take whatever criticism comes from them or whatever perspective comes from them. And it may just be that they just don't see it the way you do. They don't know where you're actually at, or it's their own limiting beliefs. And that's how they answer it based on how they are encompassed. And I do feel like we tend to forget that. You know, I always heard when I first got into real estate, don't take advice from someone who's not paying your bills, which I thought was really interesting, because there are so many people, especially in the real estate world, there's so many people that do like one deal a year and have been in it for 15 years and they've only closed like five and they think they've got it all figured out, all the things. And we tend to take everybody else's opinions as our own, versus stepping back and saying, you know what, that actually doesn't make sense. I get where you're coming from, but I'm actually not at that point. I'm actually up here, right? And so we really have to take in what people say, but also know how to stand out as a third party and really look at the whole idea and see if it, one, aligns with us, or two, is it coming from their perspective based on their triggers, their limiting beliefs, and all of that stuff, right?
And I think part of what you're talking about is, well, first of all, the thing that you said about, you know, are their values the same as my values? I mean, it mm-hmm. sounds like, and that's kind of, again, where the dead reckoning comes in. You can solve so many problems by just having people have the same values that you have. One of the nonprofits that I was coaching got a grant from the government. And they were trying to, you know, their teachers were, it was a Christian school, and they had all these after class, you know, Bible studies for the kids so that they could have a safer place to be longer.
Yeah.
But the people who were brought in with the government money, they couldn't, you know, that wasn't part of the hiring values thing. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And so it caused a huge conflict between the existing staff and the new staff. And, mm-hmm. you know, the same thing is true when you get married. If you've got somebody who has different values than you have about money, you know, or whatever. I mean, this is a really small one, but I came up in a family that was ultra honest. I mean, just, you know, abnormally honest. My father was just such an honest person. I mean, he dealt with a lot of contractors, you know, and he was responsible for bids, and they always wanted to give him presents. And my father was always sending them back. Right, mm-hmm. because he never wanted to see, I mean, and so they started sending him food baskets. So they would come on Friday afternoon, we would all dive into it. So
oh, gosh!
He couldn't send them back. My husband, on the other hand, comes from a family that has a little larceny. You know, they don't mind taking, you know, when you're only supposed to take one, they'll take two. And so when our kids were little, it was like, ugh. You know, don't yeah. do that. No, it's not, you know, there's a, you know, that kind of thing. And I think the other thing is what you touch on mm-hmm. is communication, which mm-hmm. is so, so important. And we yeah. really, I mean, I don't think that we are really taught to communicate. I mean, so when you're exchanging ideas with people, you have to really say, for instance, this is why I'm doing this. This is the purpose. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And when that person says, oh, this isn't going to work or whatever, you know, before we say yes or no, say, tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me why you're saying that. And so you can then evaluate the information that you're getting. I mean, and that doesn't even account for differences of languages and experiences and all that kind of stuff. I was teaching a class to hospital workers, and they kept saying, we have to make a presentation. We have to make a presentation. And to me, presentation was like standing at a podium, giving out information. And finally, I was like, I don't get it. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. And to them, presentation is part of what they had to do was go and remake a whole hospital room, you know, clean it, set it up and stuff like that was the presentation of the room. And so, you know, I always say to people when I'm, if what I'm saying doesn't make any sense to you, it's not you, it's me. I'm not seeing what you're seeing. And just because somebody tells you something, or, you know, you don't have to take all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There may be one or two points that make sense. And then, you know, then you run with that. It's like when you go in a grocery store and you need a box of cereal, you don't have to buy one of every brand.
Yeah.
Just need one box, one good idea, one good insight. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's, it's so true. Like you said about communication, because I do feel like that is something that we are sorely lacking in this society, especially I feel like COVID like over announced the lacking of communication, because then everybody could be online. You could say whatever you wanted. Your opinion was blah, blah, blah. And we just posted it everywhere. And then you started seeing all these people bickering back and forth. And this is, gosh, business, personal, with your kids, with your spouse. Like, if you don't learn to ask questions, how are you actually supposed to know what somebody is thinking, right? That's the beauty of who we are, is every single person has their own perspective. And while some crisscross over, right, and they overlap because we do have similar values or upbringings or whatever the case may be, you still have to be aware of these scenarios. And that's something that, funny enough, I was just talking about with my 18-year-old. It was, you know, he just started this new job and he's loving what he's doing. And he had this one guy that's kind of like picking on him a little bit. I mean, he's young and he's doing boat mechanics, so he has an amazing opportunity. And I was like, well, have you thought about having a conversation with him? He's like, no, he's not going to care. And I'm like, why do you say that? Right. And he couldn't give me a straight answer. Well, you know, it's just, it's his friend and blah. And I'm like, okay. But so that's called assuming. I'm like, you need to ask. I'm like, don't ever assume that you understand or you have the answer, or based off of someone's look or non-look, that constitutes whatever is in your head, because your brain can make up whatever it feels like making up, right? Depending on the day and the time and your own mood, right? You could take something as small as like a huff, and if you're in a bad mood, you're like, oh, I'll be darned, what is going on, right? Like, so you really do have to be careful.
And I think the other thing is that's really important with that is, you know, we tend to say, oh, that's a little thing, I'll just ignore it.
Yeah.
Right. And then that little thing then becomes a big thing. Mm-hmm. And that other person is not at all aware.
Yeah.
Right. And that was something that really took me a very, very long time to get a handle on. And, you know, it used to be that if somebody upset me, I'd say, well, I had two ways of dealing with it. One is I'm not talking to them ever again. They don't belong in my world. I mean, so extreme, right? The other was, well, I'll let it go, right? And just, you know, and just hold the grudge, right?
Yeah.
and so gradually I got able to say, I mean, it used to take me like forever. I mean, I remember when I, at one point when I was a supervisor, I went back to apologize to somebody because I said, you know, I went back and I said, I really want to apologize for the way that I spoke to you. I was really angry. And she said to me, first of all, that was 2 weeks ago. And second of all, that was angry. And I was like, well, it felt horrible to me.
Yeah. Know?
But it got to the point where I was able to make it come closer to whatever the event was. And I always said, I'm doing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have to get it off my chest because I think it's standing in the way of what we're doing. And, you know, I mean, I just did this recently with somebody that I was in a summit with, you know, had weird feelings and said, I really think we need to talk so we can clear the air. And, and, you know, a lot of times we're not aware of the, you know, one of the things I get entrepreneurs to look at is the situational awareness. What's going on at that point? So if you've got somebody who's juggling a bazillion things and you have this little teeny ask and it doesn't get done, it's not a slight. I mean, you know, So, you know, or, you know, even if they said they were going to do it, maybe you should have given it to them much earlier, knowing that they were going to be in that kind of situation. So having a kind of a bigger view outside yourself about what's going on. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing that I've learned within the last year that I absolutely love, I took a course on positive intelligence.
Ooh.
Yes, it was wonderful. But, you know, the piece that I took away, I always say to people, when I tell you about something, know that this is filtered through my brain. If you go through it, you may get something totally different.
Yeah.
But he basically talked about the limiting beliefs that we have come from our childhood, because our parents and the adults in our life were trying to protect us, which makes absolute yeah. sense to me. He said, and we've, over the years, we followed that and kind of dug a rut for ourselves. You know, that's our default.
Mm-hmm.
So when something happens and we have a negative reaction to it, if we can identify it and say, what is the gift? What is the opportunity from this? And it is amazing. You would be surprised. First of all, just stopping, what stopping does for you to take a look
yeah.
at it, but asking that. And it really, first of all, it helps you to clarify what's going on in your brain too. I mean, I was in a meeting and a young man came in and kind of took over the meeting and was like all over the place, you know.
Oh. Kind of.
And afterwards I thought, what just happened? I mean, you know, I wasn't running the meeting, and the person that was running the meeting didn't stop him. So I'm like, what is this? And, you know, I'm talking to myself like, I can't believe that, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, let me try this course and see if it works. You know, what is the opportunity? What is the gift? And mm-hmm. I was like, he's so off track. He's like not in tune with what we're doing. And then it was like, well, wait a minute. That's half the problem, because we haven't figured out what we're doing.
Oh,
you know, so no wonder he hadn't targeted it. And then the second
yeah.
thing, he had a lot of, you know, technology skills, which we absolutely could use if we could figure out what we were doing. So it's like, you know, I had said to people in the meeting, we need to talk about what just happened, because it was, you know, and by the time we got there, I was like, guys, I have a totally different view of this. And it was like amazing. So, you know, ask yourself, what is the gift? What is the opportunity? I mean, every challenge that you work through makes you better, makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And that's kind of, you know, and does it get me to my dead reckoning? Does it help me to get closer and define what I'm doing? And so, you know, it was interesting. I was at a mastermind, and somebody said, oh, you're a healer. And I was like, what? And they're like, you help people, you know. I'm like, no, I am not a healer. I'm a business coach. You know, it's like, what am I saying? What is this opportunity for me to figure out what I'm saying that I'm not yeah. getting my message out there? And it was, part of it was, you know, because I was talking about mindset, and I was talking about, you know,
okay.
how you change and stuff like that. It's like, okay, that's interesting, because I am talking about those things. How mm-hmm. do I get that to be? And that turned your doubt and uncertainty into dollars.
Which I absolutely love. I just love that. I just love the name of that. I think that is yeah. fantastic.
So there was, you know, a challenge that became an opportunity and, you know, a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting too, because you made a point when you were talking about how, you know, as you were going through the process of learning how to communicate better and start asking more questions, that, you know, like you said, the first time it was 2 weeks and you started trying to get closer and closer to it, and it ended up getting easier. And that's something that I talk about a lot, which is the smallest changes end up making the biggest impact, right? Like, you started with something so simple, and that was just deciding that I'm going to start asking questions, or I'm going to start apologizing. I don't care if it's 2-3 weeks later, like, I'm going to start doing that. And every time that you did that, you built up this small inner confidence that propelled you to do it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit sooner, until you were able to have the confidence and it became who you are to just be like, hey, I have no clue what you're talking about. Can you explain this? Right? Like it, but it's so empowering when you really take that apart and look at it and chunk it down, because again, we get so hyped up on this huge expectation and all of these goals, when in reality, everything smart starts from some small little piece that you decide to build upon. And that's what creates the new version or the new added habit that you have, right? Or the new goal that you've attained, is because of all those small things that we tend to just look past and not appreciate.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a visual learner. And so I find that, you know, having stories and having, you know, metaphors and stuff like that really helped me.
Which you are fantastic at, by the way.
So if you think of change, if you think about a wheel, the spokes in a wheel, mm-hmm. at the center, it's very small. As it goes out, the spokes get wider and wider. And that's kind of how your life is in a lot of Ooh. Ways. Is a small change is kind of like that ripple effect. And it, the more you do it, the more impact it has. So, mm-hmm. you know, it, a lot of times people are like, I have to change everything. And I go, if you can work like that, if you can, you know, go cold turkey, mm-hmm. then good for you. I never could. I mean, yeah. I, you know, I told you that I lost over 150 pounds, right?
Yes.
And you know, for me, making food changes was really hard. I mean, like, so for instance, you know, so you have to have your own set of values. So one of my set of values is if it doesn't taste good, I'm not going to eat it. Right. So when they first
Makes sense.
Out, when they first brought out non-fat cream cheese, I put it in the microwave and it didn't melt. It was like, nope, this isn't going in my body.
Oh,
I mean, it's changed since then, but at that point, it was like, nah, don't think so. Don't matter. It doesn't matter how good it is and how important this is. I'm not eating that, you know. And when I went from, you know, like a regular mayonnaise to a low fat mayonnaise, I couldn't do it. So I ended up putting regular mayonnaise on one slice of the bread and low fat on the other. I mean, I had to transition through it.
Yeah.
Right? And so some habits are like that. And mm-hmm. the other thing that, you know, I have a lot of favorite sayings apparently, but the other one is, with change comes unexpected consequences.
Mm.
And that's because we don't really understand the whole system. We don't yeah. understand. So for instance, when I was losing weight, one of the big consequences was that my kids went berserk. They're like, why are you cooking this food? Why are you doing this? You know, we want it the way it was. We don't, yep. you know, it was like, okay. You know, I was trying to do the cookie cutter thing where the person was like, make this, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I'm not going to run a restaurant. I'm not going to cook one set of meals for me and another set for my kids. How
yeah.
can I eat? What's the purpose? What is the goal? You know, and the goal was, you know, to feel full, cut calories, get more fiber. How can mm-hmm. I do that without, you know? And so I started just adding, you know, cooking the same thing that I was cooking, but adding an extra salad or and an extra vegetable or something so that mm-hmm. I can eat more of that and they could still get what they wanted, you know, and then, you know, it was like, okay, I need the portions to be smaller. And so I just picked a smaller plate, you know, and we can yeah. have the same food. And so that's part of the whole thing, is that you have to be able to see the ripple effect. I mean, of what's going to happen. Like when you make, you know, the other one, which is a business example, is, you know, everybody's worked for a company and there's this old person that's kind of like the gatekeeper that you have to go through for everything. And, you know, they can't use the computers or they don't know this, that, and the other. And everybody can't wait for them to retire. And when they retire, the whole place falls apart because they know where all the bodies are buried. They know everybody's they know who we yeah. order, what special deals so-and-so gives us. They know, you know, it's like, who knew that they were a repository for all this information?
Yeah.
And all we saw was they can't use the computer. And so people are running around like maniacs,
mm-hmm.
you know, calling her up and saying, what, you know, where did you get this? What did you do that? And so you don't know, you don't really know what's underneath before you make the change. And so weird things happen.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And it's funny that you say that too, because like I just had a conversation with my oldest one again. I've had a lot of conversations with him lately. But we were talking about, you know, kind of getting his life together and where do you want to go and how do you want to do this? And you know, you got to start saving money so that you can find a place to rent and, you know, start teaching him, you know, different things that he had knocked in his head, but he's also a teenager. But he actually came to me and he's like, "Mom, you were acting like I haven't done absolutely anything." He was like, "I've done this. I've done this. I've already called this. I've already taken care of that." And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "I am so sorry." I'm like, all I see is when you come in the house and you're just playing video games and then you eat and you go, I'm like, so I don't recognize that. I'm like, so don't feel bad. Sometimes you just come to me and be like, guess what I did today? I'm like, you know, be proud of yourself. Like, tell me, I'm okay with that. I was like, and then I know what's going on. So I'm not just shooting you down when you actually are making progress behind the scenes. And it's just something I didn't notice. So that was a really interesting learning point for me.
And you know what? It is a two-way street in the sense that, you know, he's not telling you and you're also probably not telling him. I mean, I really believe that most of the values or the models and things that you use for your business should also be able to be used in your life, you know? And so, you know, one of the things that was the hardest for me was telling my kids when I had failed at something. You know, you know, "Mom, how's business going?" "Oh, it's going fine." You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, not, "I lost the client today. You know, I had a call and and they didn't sign up for the program and I feel really crappy," but you know, that kind of thing. "And what are you doing?" And, you know, you have, like I said, you have these beliefs. My two of my five grandkids are very artistic. And one got a full scholarship to a really good college. And I was so excited and so proud of him. And the limiting belief jumped up in my throat. And I said, "And make sure you take some business courses." You know, he's majoring in animation. Make sure take some business courses so that, you know, every business, you know, needs some business, you know, and if you want to have your own business and, you know, in the back of my mind, what I'm really saying is I want you to be able to support yourself, and, you know, then he came back to me and he said, you know, they've just added an animation major and he got accepted into Drexel and Drexel, you know, they go to school for a couple semesters and then they go do internships. And I'm like, oh, good. He's going to be fine. He doesn't need to take business courses, right? You know, and I said to him, "I'm sorry, that was my own fear," you know, where, you know, you have the best of both worlds. Go for it. Do your thing. Do you?
Yeah. I love that. And you know what? It is so true too. Like since I've been running my business and really kind of learned how to converse with people differently and have a different type of communication, I have made sure that I use that in my personal life as well, right? I use it with my husband when I misunderstand something or if I'm like, "I'm so sorry. What you just said just made no sense to me. Like, this is what I took from it," right? And I do the same thing with my kids. I mean, my kids are 18 and 15, so we can have those kinds of conversations. And that's something that, you know, I really have picked up on is I can tell them whatever I want, right? And I can act like whatever I want, but it's what I'm actually doing is what they are seeing and that's what they are mirroring. Right. And so being able to say, "Yeah, I screwed that one up." Right. Or, "Yeah, I'm sorry. Mom's having like a hell of a day. I probably need some space." Right. Like, but giving that, my kids have now started adopting that and having two young boys, right, full of testosterone, and my oldest one having ADHD, like that helps them because then they're able to be like, "Yeah, I don't need to be bothered right now." I'm like, "Okay, you good?" "Yeah, just, you know, I'm not having a good time." I'm like, "Okay, well, we'll talk about it later," right? Like, but it's creating that space and that line of communication that should be in business as well.
And the thing is that people, like you said, it's not what we say, it's what we do.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I'm in a situation where my daughter had a medical issue and, you know, for all her life, she's seen me work through all kinds of illnesses and show up and, you know, go to work when I probably shouldn't and stuff. And, you know, because of what she has, she really needs to take time for herself and take care of herself. And that is not what she has witnessed. And she is, you know, that part of it, she has had so much trouble because there's no way to make to get better faster. Mm-hmm. It may end up being, you know, that she's got to make some changes that she's always going to have to do. You know, it's not good enough to just rest on Saturday. She's going to have to do some rest breaks during the day kind of thing to, you know, get her settled down and stuff. And, you know, she definitely has my mindset about, you set a goal, you're going to get there, you're going to, you know, and you know, there are things you can't control. I mean, you know, and so learning to, you know, I think learning to pace yourself and be gentle with yourself is probably a skill that is just, you know, is always in the, you're always getting better at it because it's kind of is against our, you know, what you need to be successful. But I think what you need to be successful is that you can be in there for the long haul so that you can pace yourself. I just said to a client, I think of my business as having three lanes. And again, this came from losing weight. You have your speed lane, you know, things that you have to get done that you need to, you know, and it could be because you have an opportunity and you really, you know, and that when I was losing weight was, you know, I need to lose so many pounds because I'm going to this event kind of thing. I'm going to use this event as my motivation. And then you have the middle lane, which is your regular maintenance lane. It's like what you do on a regular day that, you know, the regular speed that you go or whatever. And then you have the outer lane, which is your slow lane. And that kind of is your vacation lane. That's like, I want to meander. It's a local lane. I don't have to go fast. If I'm going to Mexico, I want to eat Mexican food. If I'm on a cruise ship, I want to do this. You know, I want to try something different. But if you have all three of those lanes, you have a certain, you've kind of evened out a lot of the bumps and the ups and the down because you've got, you know, if you're feeling like you need to work really hard on something, you got something. If you feel like you want to, you've got something, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
And it was really funny because one time, because I used to do health coaching for people that wanted to lose 100 pounds. And, you know, one of the things people were saying, okay, when you go in your speed lane, what do you do differently? It was so funny because I had made such a change about the stuff that was in my refrigerator. It was like the stuff that when I was first starting to lose weight wasn't there. And, you know, the stuff that I didn't want to eat anymore wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And everything that was in the refrigerator, I could eat, you know, and feel, you know, it, and not that foods are good or bad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, but I'm the kind of people, you know, that somebody said I'm on the seafood diet, seafood, eat food, you know. You know, and so when you eliminate some of those things that, you know, some of those things that trigger you, you know, it just makes it easier. And, you know, and the same thing with, you know, I found that having the things that I like that I don't have a lot of control over eating, if I get them in individual portion sizes, you know, individually 100 calorie things. Right. I can have them, but I, you know, because my thing is you have to get to the bottom of the bag, apparently. I have this thing, it's, you know, waste not, want not. I have to get to the bottom of the bag. And so the smaller the bag, the better. And so the same thing is true when you've got projects to chunk them down and so that you can actually finish pieces and feel good about it. I mean.
I love that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That's a really unique way of putting it is chunking it down and finishing it bite by bite instead of trying to take the whole thing in at once. Yeah. And it also gives you that space to have the encouragement, have the empowerment, be able to celebrate, empowered by yourself, and then push forward to the next thing, right? Especially for those days when we do not feel empowered at all.
So what one of the things that I used to say is, you know, I think one misconception is that success is finishing something, and it's not. Success is making progress towards where you're going. You know, if you can get to the end of the day and say, I made progress on what I'm, you know, going to do. And you said something that made me think about, Wayne Dwyer has a thing about, you were saying, you know, each day when you're in the shower, right? He has a thing that I love. He said, you know, before you close your eyes at night, say to yourself, tell yourself congratulations for all the good things that you accomplished, right? And then tell yourself what you need to figure out tomorrow to move forward. And your brain will work on that while you're asleep. I need to, you know, I'm working on this situation. I need to, you know, to do it tomorrow. And so many times I wake up and it's like, oh, so this is what I was missing, or, oh, this is what I should do. So, and the thing that's really good about it is we all go to bed.
And right.
We all go to bed and we all have 2 minutes, at least 2 minutes before we go to sleep. And it doesn't even take that long. So it is such an easy, I say that in life, there are static habits and there are active habits. A static habit is something that you can do regardless. So taking a vitamin doesn't take you out of, you know, you don't have, you know, as long as you keep ordering them, you can just take them. I have an exercise pillow that I sit on that helps me with my posture and strengthens my core, so that as long as I'm at my desk, which I am a lot, I'm doing something, as opposed to actually getting up and doing an exercise, which is an active exercise. So an exercise like this before you go to sleep is, to me, a static exercise. I can do it regardless. And yeah, I can feel like I've ended my day with a great habit and the next day is going to be really good. So
I love that. Well, I always have a question at the end that I want to ask. But I'm like, that was so fantastic.
Are we at the end?
Oh, I know. I'm having so much fun. But what I normally end up asking my guests, which is one of my favorite things, is, you know, do you have a quote or something you'd like to leave the audience with? But I feel like you've given so many nuggets, especially that last one. I absolutely love that. Like, I'm going to have to try that now. So if you have something else, obviously, I would love to hear it. And I know the audience would as well.
The quote that I use the most is, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up and how fast. So it used to be how many times you get back up. But when I was losing weight, if it took you a month or 2 months before you got back, it took you much longer. If you could get back to what you were doing in the next meal, then, you know, it wasn't like a huge, you know, it didn't sidetrack you. So it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. If you're not falling down, you're not doing anything new.
Very true.
So you should expect to fall down. So the real nugget is how fast you get up, you know, from when you fall down.
I love that. That is fantastic. Well, Yvonne, I've had an absolute blast chatting with you today. Thank you so much for being a guest and for all of the amazing nuggets that you have given us. Please tell everybody, how can they connect with you? How can they follow you? Where can they be to get in your world?
There are lots of places. So I have a free mini course that you can get at www.productivitycoach.today. Twice a month, I do a like open house kind of thing. It's called Yvonne's Productivity and Profit Hour. And I'll give you the link for that. So I won't say the date, because it's usually the second or third week of the month, you know.
Okay.
And then there are all the, you know, the Facebook, LinkedIn things. And probably the fastest way to get a hold of me is this one, this finger. Yvonne.
So, yeah. I love that. Well, we'll be sure to put all that information in the show notes, especially the book a call with Yvonne.com, so you guys can reach out so you can get in her world. And again, thank you, Yvonne, so much for all of your information. Yes, yes. Thank you so much. And to everybody else that's out there, I hope you guys were really writing this stuff down, because boy, were there some amazing nuggets. Please be sure to share with us in the comments online. We always love to hear what you guys had as takeaways. And until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for somebody each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode. And until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.